Welcome to Podcast 83, a regular look at the news, stories, and trends related to Michigan's 83 counties, from Keweenaw to Monroe, Chippewa to Berrien. Brought to you by the Michigan Association of Counties. Here's your host, MAC Executive Director Stephen Curry.
All right, welcome back. This is the Podcast 83 put on by the Michigan Association of Counties. We took a little break this summer. There wasn't a ton going on in Lansing, but obviously that's changed now. We've got some kind of, I don't want to say unprecedented, but it hasn't happened in a long time, and it hasn't happened very frequently with the budget process. We've had a budget that's been presented to the governor. The governor has line item vetoed and numerous lines in it, and now she has move funds around through the state ad board to kind of make up some holes that were made through her line item vetoes that she thought were priorities. So today I'm joined by Dina Bosworth, our Director of Government Affairs, and Megan Kite, Government Affairs Associate. And we're going to talk a little bit about what some of those vetoes were, the process, where do we go from here? So Dina, why don't you start us off with, you know, what's happened?
How did we
get here? And
how did we get in this mess? And it's pretty much what it is a mess.
It's a mess. The governor called it a mess. Now we're calling it a mess.
Yeah. I mean, the legislature's got to admit it's a mess, too. Usually we have a budget done in June and we know what to expect and we can move forward. But September 30th marked the end of the state's fiscal year. Today is the beginning of the state's fiscal year 1920. And we now have a budget in place. We averted a government shutdown, which is good. But how we got to this point was kind of ugly. Just to recap, when the governor did her budget presentation and her recommendations for the budget, she called for an increase in revenue. That revenue was going to come from a 45-cent gas tax increase. She was going to put more money into water, into education, and into roads. That was her pitch, and it was met like with a lead balloon. Just no interest at all, I think, in the legislature on that 45-cent gas tax increase. So conversations were to continue about additional revenue for roads along with the budget process, but that kind of stalled out. It just got really slow. I mean, they didn't talk about much. You know, we heard around the state we didn't like the 45 cents, but additional revenue options were kind of few and far between. I know the speaker was talking about, you know, changing the gas tax, sales tax on gas to go directly to roads. You know, that was an option, but then that created a hole in the general fund. So, you know, not very long ago, the discussion about road funding and increase in revenue sort of split with the budget process, and they weren't really talked about together anymore. I mean, they were just kind of done. The legislature and the governor did talk about the budget, but those negotiations fell apart really quickly. We came back after the summer, and they didn't have a consensus or target setting, which they usually have. Target setting is when the governor meets with the legislature and they figure out how much money is really there, how much money is going to be kind of allocated into different areas. Well, their budget negotiations fell apart. They fell apart because the legislature wanted to put in additional general fund dollars into roads and not discuss the revenue increases until a later date, even if they do. So the governor pretty much walked away from those negotiations. The legislature moved forward, put a budget on her desk, and it was speculation after speculation in town on what she was going to do with it. I know, for one, we expected line item vetoes. You expected them, didn't you, Megan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think everyone expected a lot of, you know, use of the red pen going through the budget. So that wasn't a surprise. But the areas that were cut maybe were, and I think one of them that you're hearing a lot about, especially tied to road funding, because the legislature did put in that $400 million general fund, additional road funding, and she ended up vetoing that at a tune of $375 million. So, you know, she's pretty serious about, she didn't want just the one-time fix or additional funds. She wanted a long-term solution that she wasn't able to negotiate. So she went ahead and just cut that right out.
She sliced and diced the budget. I mean, there were 147 lines vetoed in the budget.
Nearly $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's pretty unprecedented.
A ton of money. Now, just right away, revenue sharing was not cut. Revenue sharing for counties was not vetoed, but that's, you know, an increase of about 5.1 million, just over 2%. So that was not vetoed. But there were many other line items in the budget that are important to counties that were vetoed. And then we're going to talk about those individually, but also something that was really unique. I say unique. Last time it happened was, 1991 when Engler did it. She convened the ad board to do a bunch of transfers within departmental budgets. So, you know, each budget has their own separate line items, and she was able to convene the ad board and move dollar amounts into different line items within individual budgets. That meant reductions in some of the things that we care about, increases in areas that we didn't necessarily care about, but we'll start running through those. One of the vetoes I want to talk about is PILT. She vetoed payment in lieu of taxes, all three lines of it, for a total of $27 million. Now, what that means going forward, we'll talk about that. I think we'll talk about a supplemental budget in a minute. But Megan, do you want to kind of cover some of the other ones that you had?
Yeah, I think one of the largest ones that was pretty controversial throughout the whole legislative process was the county jail reimbursement program. The legislature moved forward with some boilerplate language related to, I guess, what's referred to as these sanctuary counties. Basically, language that said if you're not going to cooperate with the federal immigration enforcement officers, then you could have your county jail reimbursement funds withheld. She didn't like that language and basically struck that entire line, which was about a total of $14 million. And now it's kind of sitting out there. That line is just vetoed. Those funds are not there. It wasn't included in the transfer.
Yeah, were those funds transferred to somewhere else, or are they just sitting there?
They're basically just sitting there at this point. I mean, it's not appropriated for, right? It's just there's about $5 million that are restricted funds, about $9 million general fund, and that line has just been completely taken out. So, you know, counties that are holding what would be, you know, those incarcerated in a state prison now are not being paid for them or won't be paid for them. So it's really problematic.
I think that's the most timely issue out of all of her vetoes that affect counties. I think that that's the most timely one because do you get reimbursed later for the days that were missed, or is it just because that money is not appropriated until they appropriate it? We don't get any reimbursement for those prisoners sitting in our jails. I think we don't know the answers to that yet. It's kind of unprecedented.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's likely that the department's also in a situation where they're not sure what to do about this. So I think we're going to have a lot of conversations about that specifically in the next few hours and days. So stay tuned.
I think with PILT payments, I think we'll eventually get them once they reinstate the money appropriated for payment in lieu of taxes. But that's not based on each and every day thing like the county jail reimbursement is. So I don't know.
Yeah. Also, I mean, there are some huge hits. You know, we just started seeing these county veteran service grants being provided. She did recommend early on a 50% reduction, so only a $2 million appropriation. But the legislature, you know, reinstated that, put it back up to that $4 million, and now that's part of the veto. That is not there either. So that's really unfortunate because we've heard a lot of great things happening from counties with those funds for our veteran services. So we'll be working, you know, to really push the legislature to restore that as well.
Yep. And then she line item vetoed secondary road patrol.
Yeah, child care fund and direct cost payments. There's about $4 million there.
She got rid of $1 million for county fairs. Who doesn't like a county fair? There was $1 million there. She vetoed that too. So yeah, just a whole host of line item vetoes and transfers. So let's talk a little process, you think?
Yeah, I think let's move the process. We touched on one thing a little bit is timing. You know, I think, you know, that's, we're going to be very sensitive to that, especially when you're looking at the jail reimbursement and those costs that are, you know, I don't know what the estimated figure is to house a prison inmate in the jail system, but I think I've seen numbers around $30,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
So you start adding those up, those costs can start getting really big really quickly. And locals, obviously, counties not being primarily the funding unit of that, don't have a lot of huge coffers to cover those costs. So I think let's talk process on where do we go from here. Obviously, timing's part of it.
What happens to the money that's sitting there?
The legislature, the governor, Dina, why don't you talk? Megan, why don't you guys both talk a little bit about where do we go from here?
They're not getting along. I think that's safe to say that they're not getting along. And I think that if we have, the only way to kind of right this ship is to have a supplemental budget bill, which we're used to supplemental budget bills on a regular basis. You know, sometimes there's a negative supplemental when there's not enough money and you have to take dollars away. Positive supplemental when you have extra funds left over, you know, maybe from one fiscal year to the next. But right now, there's a ton of money sitting on the table, you know, that almost $1 billion that she line item vetoed. that's just kind of sitting there. I think there were a whole host of programs and services that mean a lot to different members of the legislature that she vetoed. So I think that she's trying to force them to get back to the table to negotiate.
Right. Yeah, I think we're going to be learning a lot from the legislature in the next couple of days. You know, there are folks in town today reviewing all of these documents, and then you know they're going to be convening appropriations hearings and other committees, you know, starting this week. So there's still going to be a lot of ongoing discussion.
So the onus will be on the legislature now to put together a supplemental budget, I'm assuming with input from the governor, hopefully. Otherwise, she could just veto that supplemental, right? Mm. I mean, we could just continue down this spiral. But there's no time frame on that, right? This could drag out. This could be a long-term discussion. This could be quickly done.
If she's sticking to her guns on she wants a vote on new revenue before she's going to fund any of these line items, I think that we're in trouble. I think we're in big trouble.
So what do you recommend our members do at this point?
Other than pull their hair out, I would recommend, for sure, calling your legislator and talking about it, telling him what these programs mean to your county. I know there are many counties out there that have, you know, more than 50% of their land owned by the state or federal government. And if those state PILT payments aren't coming, their budgets are going to be hurting. Mm-hmm. They really are. I know there's counties out there that, you know, house state prisoners and rely on that revenue to make their bond payments on their new jail. And if that money doesn't come to them, where are they going to get that from? You know, so the message really is to your legislators that counties cannot afford to take these kinds of hits. They don't have extra room in their budgets to make up for these, you know, vetoes and not getting reimbursed for things.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's something we'll still focus on here, obviously, in Lansing and talking to the folks and making sure they recognize the importance of these programs. And I know Megan's already been in touch with the Department of Corrections on concerns about those jail reimbursement issues. Dean has been in contact with the governor's office on a lot of these issues already as soon as we heard about it. So I know it's something we'll be focusing on in here.
You're listening to Podcast 83 with news, features, and services related to Michigan's 83 counties. Learn more about everything county governments do at micountymatters.org.
Here in Lansing. So just to change gears a little bit to get away from the appropriations process, there's still some other legislation we've been working on. You know, we haven't been on the podcast in a while. Some positive legislation, I think, that's coming up this week. Dean, you want to touch on that?
Yay! Yeah, yay! Definitely. Okay, now I just told them how hard their job's going to be, and now we're going to talk about extending their term. How about that?
Great.
You could do a hard job for even longer. No, bills have been introduced in both the House and the Senate. They're identical. Senator Ed McBroom in the Senate and Representative Leitner and Representative Boland in the House have dropped in bills to increase county commissioner terms of office from 2 years to 4 years. And it's really been met, you know, very positively in the legislature. So this week, tomorrow, actually Wednesday at 11 o'clock, the House Committee on Elections and Ethics, chaired by Representative Julie Calley, is going to take up the House bills. And then on Thursday, Senator Dale Zorn from Monroe is going to take up the Senate bills. You know, obviously they'll take testimony. They usually take testimony 1 week and then vote them out the following week. So, but still, good reception on them.
Good. And then Megan, we've got the Raise the Age bills still hanging out there. You want to give a quick update on that since it's been a while?
Yeah, definitely. I think the legislature, now that, you know, the budget's kind of done in its first phase here, they have a little bit more time to focus back on some of the big policy issues, one of them being the Raise the Age discussion. Expect that to come up here, you know, likely in October. And the House and the Senate still have two different versions on the funding. Basically, the Senate says child care fund, you'll get 100% reimbursement for the 17-year-old population in perpetuity, where the House version allows that 100% child care fund reimbursements on the 17-year-old for only, you know, a couple fiscal years. And then there's a calculation and a trigger year in October 2023, where all youth will be provided the same reimbursement, but based on, you know, numbers and data and funding from the previous fiscal years being split. So I think we need a little more time on the House side to make sure that the numbers and funds are accurate, but it's also a good option. So, you know, I think it's basically between the Senate and the House determining what direction they're going to go and what that final language looks like, and then we can really weigh in on, you know, where we are, but where I think we're really close and that we can be supportive of it. So we're just kind of getting back into the swing of things on the policy side now that the budget's kind of wrapped up on it. So
kind of.
Kind of wrapped up. Right. I don't know.
Right. Well, all right. Thanks for the updates, guys. And please stay tuned to, you know, our MAC website. You'll be getting updates from us on this budget process over the next few days. Hopefully we get this taken care of in the next few days or at least in the next week. But if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to our staff and we'll be happy to answer them as best we can. So have a great week. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Podcast 83, the go-to source for all information about Michigan's 83 counties.